Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Study with us from the book of Romans today in the 5th chapter. And we begin our study where we discontinued last time. We begin with verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. And in this passage of scripture that is before us, a rather lengthy passage I'm going to read, it helps us to understand what all Christ has done on our behalf and the benefits that have come to us because of what he has done. And Paul draws this contrast, really a comparison in a way, between Adam and Christ. And it helps us to understand our situation and what the Lord has done on our behalf. He says in verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned." And then he begins a parenthetical expression in verse 13. "For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more," and we find that phrase often now, "much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Now, beginning here and continuing through these verses, we have this contrast between Adam and Christ, and the results of the actions of Adam and of actions of Christ. By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and the result? Why, death passed upon all men. Friend, there has not lived a person since the Garden of Eden, since sin entered the world, that has escaped certain results and consequences of the sins of Adam. But now we raise the question, are we guilty of the sin of Adam? Are we guilty of sin because Adam sinned? Friend, keep in mind that the guilt of sin is one of the consequences of sinning. But that's only one of the consequences. There are other consequences as well. Did the guilt of sin pass upon all men simply because Adam sinned? Or does this refer to other consequences of Adam's sin that passed upon all men? In other words, are you and I guilty of Adam's sin? Well, this answer is found in the definition of sin by the Holy Spirit, given in 1 John 3 and verse 4. You see, sin is transgression. It's the transgression of the law of God. And until one transgresses the law of God, he is not guilty of anything. Now, there are certain results of sin that have passed upon everybody because Adam sinned. And they're unconditional. There's nothing we can do about it. We all die physically, for instance. Because the first couple was driven from the Garden of Eden and from the Tree of Life, we all die physically. But has spiritual death passed upon all men? Yes, it has, but why? Paul tells us why. It's not because we're guilty of Adam's sin. He said, for all have sinned. Spiritual death. It comes upon me, it comes upon you, because of our own transgressions against the will of God. Now, spiritual death is suffered by everybody who sins, but because of his own sins, not because of Adam's sin. Now, to be sure, sin came into the world by Adam's sin, and we may suffer the consequences of his sin in many ways. But the guilt of sin is upon Adam, and my guilt upon sin is because of my transgressions. You see, there are those who teach falsely when a baby is born, he's doomed and damned, hopeless and helpless, and he's so depraved he can't do anything about his spiritual condition, and therefore he's on his way to hell, and God has already determined who's going to be there. Friend, that's not the way it is. We're not born guilty of sin. We're not born guilty of the original sin. We are guilty of our own sins. Verse 13 through 17 seems to be an inspired explanation of the main theme presented here in the contrast between Adam and Christ and the results of their individual actions. By the offense, the sin of Adam, judgment, condemnation, that came upon all men, and why? Because since that time all men partake of sin. But righteousness, the making a man righteous, and counting him not guilty of sin, that has come by and through Jesus Christ. One man's disobedience introduced sin into the world, but by the obedience of Christ, many who were sinners are made righteous. They're introduced into eternal life through justification. By one, Adam, came death, but by the other, Christ, came life. By one, Adam, came condemnation, but by the other, Christ, came justification. Now, friend, consider the detailed contrast given here in these verses. If there had been no law, there would be no sin, because sin is a transgression of the law. But since there was sin from Adam to Moses, we know that the world lived under some kind of law. And even though the law of Moses did not come until the time of Moses, there was law, there was sin, and there was death. Those who lived during that period from Adam to Moses, they had a law, because the Bible says they sinned, and without a law there can't be any sin. Therefore, those that lived during that time, they sinned, but he said, not just like Adam did, but they sinned nonetheless. They violated the law that had been given them by the Lord. And then this comment about Adam. Who is the figure of him that was to come? In other words, Adam was a type of the Christ. In somewhat a reverse order, Adam did against mankind, but what Christ did for mankind. What Adam took away, Christ brought back. Now the offense of Adam, it brought death, but much more. Here's the grace of God. The grace of God is much more than the sin of Adam and the guilt of sin. The gift is more than the offense. Oh, how can we thank God for the greatness of his grace? Now, the difference between grace and the offense is that grace is more abundant than the offense, well able to cover any and all offenses. In verse 9, 15, 17, 20, Paul uses the phrase much more, much more, much more, emphasizing the magnitude of the grace of God, the abundance of grace. But keep in mind, we're not guilty of Adam's sin. The reason is simply because the guilt of sin was not passed to all by Adam. Certain consequences were passed, but not the guilt, even though through him sin entered the world. Nor are we the receiver of life simply because Christ, through his suffering and his sacrifice, brought life into the world. We must be partakers of sin to be guilty of sin, and we must be partakers of this system of salvation to enjoy the life that our Lord has offered unto mankind. Now we are guilty of our own transgressions, and we are condemned spiritually on the condition that we sin. But we're also justified on the condition that we come to Christ and follow his plan of justification. Paul then says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ." Paul defines the relationship of the law of Moses to sin. The law defines sin, it exposes sin, it condemns sin, it shows how sinful sin is, but where sin abounds, grace justified. What a glorious system God has given. Sin will condemn mankind. It is so destructive to him, physically and spiritually. It will cause his eternal damnation if it's not forgiven. But God has so loved man. His grace has been so bountifully. It has been so much more than in power than sin. We can be forgiven. And we can live with God righteously. And we can have that hope of eternal life because of what Christ has done. Our sin is so deadly. It came in the Garden of Eden. You've partaken of it. I've partaken of it. Paul says all have partaken of it. But we all can be forgiven because of the abundant grace of God. Now we're going to continue to study about this system of salvation and what it involved. We've emphasized, as the Apostle Paul has, that we're saved by faith, but we keep reminding ourselves of the kind of faith that Paul is talking about in the book of Romans. He's talking about an obedient faith. And in the 6th chapter of Romans, he talks more about this matter of obedience, the importance of obedience, how indispensable obedience is to enjoy the spiritual benefits that God has provided through Christ. Friend, faith without the works of obedience is a dead faith. It won't save. Even though this great and marvelous system of God, we can partake of the benefits of it through faith, but what kind of faith? Well, Paul talks more about that in the 6th chapter. I hope that you'll be with us as we study this. You can read more about the comments in the book of Romans as you look on the internet. If you look at aburningfire.net, and you will find there the entirety of the book of Romans in a commentary that I composed some years ago. And this is that which we're studying now. Be with us as we study chapter 6 of Romans in our next broadcast. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.